says, starting 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now, I believe that verse with all my heart. A good wife is definitely from the Lord. Anybody can get a woman. I mean, they're practically on every street corner these days. But that thing's not just talking about having a mate. It's talking about a wife. And of course, you find what a wife is over in Proverbs 31. And if you have one of those, God has blessed. And boy, you ought to thank the Lord for it. Look down in verse 23. The poor useth entreaties, and the rich, but the rich answereth roughly. Now, I bet you've seen that demonstrated a thousand times. The guy that's broke has always got his hat in his hand, you know, and talking like this, and kind of meek and humble and groveling. And the rich are always haughty and arrogant and snotty and condescending. Now, that's not always so, but a large percentage of the time, that's the way it goes. Isn't that a crying shame? That we determine a person's self-worth and that kind of stuff based on whether or not they have this world's goods. It's just amazing that we do that. Like somebody who doesn't have a lot of money is of less value, or there's something wrong with them, they're stupid, which simply is not so. Amen? But boy, the way our world is twisted around, that's the way we behave. Now look at verse 24. A man that hath friends. Well, I should say at the outset, that probably leaves me out. I'm not talking about myself tonight. I'm preaching to y'all. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's pray. Father, we help you. Hope you'll help us tonight. Be with our tongue and untangle it and get it from around our teeth and help us to speak clearly. Lord, I pray for grace to preach and wisdom to preach. And I pray that you'd enable us and empower us. May we encourage God's people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, our text tonight, of course, is verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, a lot of people who don't have friends. There are a lot of people who are friendless. And that's kind of a lonely way to live. It's something about human nature. We like companionship. For the most part, most people like to have other people around. Now, some people are more social than others. But I don't know anybody that doesn't want to have some friends. I think sometimes some people overdo friends. They can't get on with their life. They can't meet their responsibilities, their duties, because they spend too much time with friends. Some folks are too influenced by friends. They're led around by their friends. And you can certainly overdo friendship in that sense. But at the same time, we all want some. Amen? And the Bible has a lot to say about friends. I want to point some of those out. And talk about that this evening. So, preacher, I got plenty of friends. Well, maybe you got the wrong kind. And maybe you got too much confidence in them. Chances are the folks that are your friends today, a few years down the road, probably won't be. And all kind of reasons for that. Some of them die. Some move away, or we move away, or things come between us, or our lives go in different directions, and there's a multitude of reasons why friendships change. Some people who are born in small towns and live there their whole lives may have some friends, a few friends, that are their friends for a lifetime. But that really is a rare thing, especially in our mobile society. There are less and less instances where people have a friend and remain close with them and in communication with them throughout a lifetime. And I think it's a blessing when it happens. But so we need to make friends where we're at and the part of the life, our life that we're in. And there are some things about that that we need to do if we would have friends. And there's some things about having friends we need to be mindful of and watch out for, because friends really can have a tremendous influence on you, either for good or for bad. And I think what Dr. Jerry Brown said, you are now, or you soon will be, what your friends are. I've quoted that, I almost said a verse, you know, but it's not a verse, but it's almost as good as a verse, and it's as true as anything you ever heard. You are now, or you soon will be, what your friends are. There's almost nothing in your life has more impact on you than the people you choose to run around with, who you make to be your friends. And you can be around good people, but not godly people, and folks who aren't doing anything wrong. They're not wicked, they're not immoral, they're not out drinking, that kind of thing. They're just not godly people. And they're still a deterrent to you, they're still a hindrance to you, because they will pull you away from God, because they're not interested in spiritual things. They won't promote you or push you or lead you to be interested in spiritual things. The one thing you don't need in this life is, you do not need carnal, unspiritual friends. I don't care how good they are. I don't care how nice they are. I don't care how pleasant they are. I don't care how much you have in common. If they are not spiritually minded, you don't need them.
Amen.
Not if you're going to live for God. So let's talk about friends for a while. Now, our text there in 18:24, it said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, must show himself friendly. So if you want friends, you're going to have to put in some effort. You're going to have to be friendly yourself. You can't always wait for the other guy, the other person, to make the first move. If you want friends, if you desire friends, then you're going to have to be friendly. It means you're going to have to talk to folks. You're going to have to be conversant with folks. You're going to have to be pleasant. You're going to have to be approachable. Now, I must confess, I have the hardest time with that. It's not that I don't like people. It's just I really don't like people. And it's hard for me to just make small talk. We went to a Chinese restaurant today for lunch. I'm standing there being typically aloof and self-absorbed, off on planet X somewhere, standing in line, getting irritated because the line's not moving and there's all kind of empty tables down there. And I'm standing there by him, and this lady that's sitting there in another chair says something to my wife, and the first thing I know, my wife is sitting down over there, and they're just going bah, 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 back and forth. It must be wonderful to be like that. I'd like to be able to do that just once in my life. That's about as natural for me as shooting myself in the head. I mean, that just ain't me. But I think it's great for folks who can be. Amen. If you need friends, you've got to be like that to some extent. You can't always be the wallflower. You can't always just hang off in the corner and expect everybody to come around and look you up and say, hey, buddy, you want to be my friend? It don't work that way. You got to work at it if you want it. Amen? Got to show yourself friendly. Now, I've noticed that most people have an ability to do that. There are some throwbacks to antiquity that just can't. it's like playing music. It's not that I don't want to. God knows my heart. I would give my left foot to be able to sing or play anything. I thought about swapping my left foot just to do it one time. I just can't sing. And I can't play. Because I have no rhythm and I can't remember the words. I can remember a Bible verse, but I can't remember the words to a song. Matter of fact, we were singing one a minute ago. You know what Seth was laughing about a minute ago? I sang the wrong words to that song. Been singing it 30 years. He knew the words, and he knew I didn't. I just don't have it. And that's the way I'm with making friends. It's really tough for me. I love you to death. It's just, I don't know how to be friendly. And I work at it. But I'm glad some of y'all do. Now, but if you want friends, you've got to work at it. It's not something that just will happen. You have to put in the effort yourself. Then, you ever notice that most people who have friends always have a best friend? Not all your friends are the same place on the food chain there. You have friends and close friends and then best friends. In Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 6, it said, "This is my beloved and my friend." I've never had a best friend. But I like to see folks that do. And it's a good thing to see. I like to watch folks who have a best friend. They have that open, honest relationship. They can talk with each other. They can confide with each other. Am I being funny or what? Am I missing something here? Most folks, if you have more than one friend, which would be marvelous, so you have a best friend. Now, the best friend I ever had outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is my wife. And a lot of times I'm convinced that's the only friend I really have. At least the only one that really likes me. I know a lot of folks who are cordial. But anyway, it's good to have a best friend. It's good to have a friend that you can talk to and confide in and trust. But boy, you better be careful about it. You know, the Bible said that you're not supposed to say everything that's on your heart to her that lieth in your bosom. And sometimes best friends ruin best friendships because they say too much. There are some things you only share with God. There are some things you don't even tell best friends. Somebody say amen. Now, Proverbs 27:6 said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, what's that talking about? Does that mean your friends hurt you? No, in the context, if you go back and look at it, it's talking about words. It's talking about your friend telling you the truth about yourself. Now, you can do that in such a way as to offend. You can tell the truth, the honest to God, unvarnished, absolute dying truth, and do it in such a way as to make the other person mad. It can be offensive. There's a right way to do it. And if you have any tact, if you have any grace, you can tell the truth to your friend without offending them. Amen. At least most of the time. Unless your friend is just a thin skin, they need help. Amen. But a lot of times folks presume on their friendship and they think that because they're friends, they can say anything no matter how harsh or negative or nasty. And you can't do that. Friendships will generally only stand so much strain. And when you're critical, even if it's so, it can really damage a friendship. And so the wounds of a friend are faithful, but you better be careful. You know, there's an admonition here in Proverbs chapter 16 about friends. Of course, it's in the Bible, so you know it's a good admonition. The Bible said in Proverbs 16:28, "A whisper separateth chiefest friends." A whisper, that is tale-bearing, that's backbiting, that's starting rumors. That's somebody talking to one friend about another friend and say, "Now, don't say anything about this." But and you unload some little tidbit. And then the rumor gets around, the whisper. And it separateth chiefest of friends. That's one of those classic cases of somebody talking too doggone much. That's not knowing when to keep your big mouth shut. Amen? Now, the truth is, if you have something between you and one friend, you ought to keep it there. If you have something between you and this friend, a secret or whatever it might be, don't share it with another. Leave it right where it was at. and it won't bite you. But the minute you start sharing and confiding, that thing will get around, and sooner or later it'll come back and you'll be in trouble. You'd have been a whole lot better off to have kept your mouth shut. You know what it says there in Proverbs 16:28, that a whisper separated the chief as a friend, but in Proverbs 6:3, the Bible said, humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Something's been said or something's been done that damages a friendship. It could be real. It could be imagined. Somebody said this, somebody said that, or somebody got their feelings hurt, whatever it is. But the friendship has been chilled. Where it was once warm and sweet and comfortable and desirable, now there's a wall there. There's a barrier. There's a limitation. There's been a chill put on it. It said, humble thyself and make sure thy friend. That means quit being so stuck on yourself and don't be so proud that you can't go to your friend and say, we need to get this cleared up. We need to get this fixed. We need to get this thing settled. And your friend will say, well, what happened? I didn't do it. Quit trying to assign blame and fix blame, and let's get it fixed. How about being honest and say, you said this, or I heard you said that, or I thought you said that, and it hurt my feelings. And the other one will say, well, gosh, that's not what I said. What I said was this, but if it hurts your feelings, I apologize, and blah, blah, and you work it out. Make sure thy friend. A lot of friendship been damaged over little insignificant things, where somebody got offended, somebody got hurt because there was a misunderstanding, or maybe even it was so. But it wasn't done maliciously. You can fix those things if you'll humble yourself and talk about it. But when you won't talk to the other person and they say, listen, I noticed you've been a little cold lately. What's the problem? Nothing. Have I done something to upset you? Nope. Well, you're not yourself lately. I'm okay. Yeah, you're about as natural as a rattlesnake. You know, I mean, something wrong. You need to get it fixed. Why ruin a good friendship? They're hard to come by. Good friendships are real hard to come by. Don't let little petty things get in the way and ruin it. Humble thyself and make sure thy friends. Then in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 3, there are some friends you don't need. The Bible said, but Ammon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. Now, if you go over there and read that story, Ammon was the king's son, and he was in love with his half-sister, and he can't eat. He's just laying around all the time, fantasizing and daydreaming, and he talks to his friend, and his friend said, here's what you do. And they concocted a scheme whereby Ammon could rape his half-sister. And he did. And then, of course, after he did, he felt guilty and he was ashamed and he threw her away like a used dish rag. He did that because of the advice and the counsel of a friend. There are some friends you don't need. Those friends that would lead you to do things that you ought not to do. Friends that would lead you to disobey mom and dad. Friends that would lead you to disobey God. Friends that would lead you away from spiritual things to carnal things. You don't need them kind of friends. You need to get rid of them suckers. When you run across somebody, and a lot of times they're pleasant people. They're fun to be around. Maybe you have a lot in common, but they're not spiritually minded. Or they have some habits. Or they do some things that are questionable. Or shady. Or unchristlike, or you need to get rid of them. You don't say, well, I know I shouldn't preach them, but I dislike them. They're just fun to be with. I don't care. But if they're not going to lead you to God, you don't need them. They're going to take you away from God and make you be less spiritual. You don't need them. Get rid of them before they get you in a lot of trouble. Not just with the law and that kind of stuff. Get you in trouble with God. It's easy to get away from God. It is tough to get back. Now, it's not tough because God makes it tough. It's tough because of what we do to ourselves. Then some friends are what's called fair weather friends. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 4, the Bible said, "Wealth maketh many friends." That's that crowd that wants to be around you as long as you can help them out, as long as you can do something for them, as long as you'll buy dinner, as long as you'll pay. Amen. As long as there's some advantage in it for them. And as soon as there's not, they go on to the next person that can take care of them. Those are fair weather friends. They just stick around when there's something good in it for them. Excuse me. And you've probably seen a lot of fair weather friends in your lifetime. As long as the fella or the girl thinks that by being in your company, they can profit from it or prosper from it. They're right there, boy, and they're just so much fun. But boy, the minute the well dries up or you quit spending or you don't have, they're gone. Or sometimes they're fair weather friends. As long as things are going well and as long as you're on top, they're your buddy. But the minute you have trouble, they don't stick around like a real friend. They'd be thieves. Because they're only looking for the good times. They're only looking for the good things. They're not real friends. A lot of times you hear people these days say, "Oh, I've got all kind of friends." Well, it's probably true. They're probably all kinds. But they mean by that they've got a lot of friends. Well, the honest truth is most of the time you have a lot of acquaintances. You probably only have a handful of friends. Amen. Not everybody you know, and not everybody that you're cordial with, and not everybody that's polite to you is your friend. Amen. You better have some discernment about that kind of thing. Wealth maketh many friends. Proverbs 14:20, the poor is hated, but the rich hath many friends. It's amazing how often money gets involved, isn't it? In almost every relationship. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he was talking about he had a boat. And him and his friends would go out to the river on the weekend. It was like a 25-footer, 26-footer, so a nice boat. And he got the notice to know. He said, I talked to my wife. He said, "I bought the boat, and I'm buying the gas for the boat. And we go out to the river, and I end up buying the beer, and I end up buying the food, and all these people come out there, and they eat, and they swim, and they go skiing, and they use my boat, and ain't nobody paying but me." I said, "Well, what'd you do?" He said, "I sold that blankety blank boat." Amen. It's amazing how folks will take advantage as long as you'll keep shelling it out, but they're not going to give anything. They're just there to take. Then there are friends of opportunity in Luke chapter 23 and verse 12. Pilate and Herod were made friends together. Now, that's because they were getting ready to crucify Christ. And in order to get rid of him, they had to make an agreement. And so they became friends. Now, that kind of a friendship is a friendship of situation. That is, these two men had not liked each other in the past, had nothing in common, but in order to accomplish something, they had a friendship. They made an alliance. It was a business deal. And business friendships are a special kind of a friendship. You can get along with somebody. They can be pleasant, but it's not somebody you want to pal around with and be buddies with. It's not somebody you're going to have over to dinner all the time. Your friendship is predicated entirely on a business proposition or a financial thing. And as long as both of you understand that, you're okay. But if you ever mistake that kind of a relationship for a personal friendship, you're probably going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. Amen. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 6, you find that friends have limits. The Bible said in Micah 5:7, "Trust not in a friend. Put not confidence in man, See why? Because they'll all fail you sooner or later. I don't know how many stories I've heard down through the years with people with broken hearts and bitterness. Say, I just don't believe it. They were my friend. I just never would have believed they would have done that to me, but they done it. I just wouldn't believe they could have done it. We were friends. I trusted them. Well, you better be careful how much confidence you put in people. And my wife is always getting mad at me because I don't have any confidence in anybody. Ain't a person in this room I trust. I don't have any confidence in any of you. I'm never going to get really hurt. I may be a little angry, a little disappointed from time to time, but I'm going to get over it because I didn't expect anything to start with. You say, preacher, that's a terrible way to live. Oh, it's not so bad. Not near as bad as you might think. In the ministry and dealing with people, you better have a hide as tough as a rhinoceros or you will get hurt. And you better understand that friends have limits and that some of them somewhere along the line are going to let you down. They're going to disappoint you. If you anticipate that, if you understand that, you can deal with it and grapple with it when it happens. But when people have this blind, absolute faith in friends, you're a fool. As long as they're human, the possibility for betrayal or failure is always there. A lot of times the thing wasn't something premeditated. It was a weakness. But it's there because they're human. Amen. So you better be careful about those friendships and not have that absolute blind trust and faith in humanity. Listen, God said that the stars are not pure in His sight. Amen. Well, if you got any smarts at all, men aren't going to be pure in your sight. You don't trust them blindly. It's okay to trust folks, but always keep one eye on them. Hello? Y'all don't seem to be encouraged about friends here. I'm trying to help you out. They're a great asset. They're a wonderful thing. You just have to use your head. It's like anything. I don't know anything in life where you can just blindly go into it and not keep your eyes open to see what's going on. People that do that are nuts. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, there is a friend without equal. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you're really one of those people that need a friend to confide in and tell the deepest thoughts and longings of your heart to, if you need a friend that you can go to with absolute implicit trust, that you'll never be betrayed, you'll never be revealed, your feelings, your thoughts, your emotion, your hurts, your guilts will be with Him forever. There's only one friend that can do that. If you need a friend that can understand things that nobody else can get a handle on and nobody else can give you comfort with, there's only one friend that can do that. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Jesus said, henceforth I call you friends. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You need a friend? Let me tell you, there's a friend. Enjoy your human friends. Enjoy friendship. Make yourself friendly. Friendship can be a blessing to you. It can be a blessing to the person you're friends with. I've seen certain people that have friendships and I admire them and respect them for it and a little envious of them, a little jealous of them sometimes. That they can have friends and have such close friends and such lasting friendship. I think it's a tremendous blessing. But when human friends fail, and when there are places people can't go, and there are things your friends can't comprehend, and there are things you can't reveal to any human being on the face of this earth, there's a friend. you come to Jesus Christ, you can tell Him all. You can reveal all your heart, all your hurt, all your feeling, all your emotion. There's nothing you can't tell Him. And there's no situation that He can't understand. There is no pain that He cannot feel. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And it's my friend, Jesus Christ. I never have personally, and I don't say this complaining because I just never have particularly needed a whole bunch. I've never had many close personal friends. I just don't have that kind of personality. But I stay self-absorbed most of the time, and so I'm not aware that I'm lonely. I'm not aware that I'm deprived. I find myself perfectly content most of the time. I'm quite content with my own company. Nobody will flatter me like I do. You know, but when I need a friend, I've found that my wife is a friend. And humanly speaking, I don't think I have a better friend. I don't think I could have a better friend than her. I took her to Jesus. And He's always helped me bear the burden. He has always been understanding. He has been such a blessing. I have a friend that sticketh closer. Let me ask you this. Do you have that friend tonight? Are you saved by God's grace? Can you look down in the depths of your heart and know for a surety that Jesus Christ is your friend? Let me ask you this. What kind of condition is your friendship in? Is it strained? Has it been a while since you were close? Has it been a while since the friendship was warm, comfortable like it used to be? If it's not, I wonder whose fault that is. Has He done something? Has He said something? Has He left you? Or is the problem with the relationship, the problem with the friendship on your side? That Bible said, draw nigh unto Him, and He will draw nigh unto you. The Lord hasn't gone any place. But a lot of times we let our own heart, our own failures, our own hurts, our own misunderstandings, all kind of things get in the way and puts a chill on that friendship, just like it does with your bosom buddy. You know how good it feels when you restore a friend and you throw your arms around their neck and you hug them and you say, I love you and I've missed you. And they hug you back and maybe you cry and you enjoy one another's company again. You ever had a friend like that? Boy, it ain't nothing like when you get that friendship restored with you. That tenderness, that warmth, that sense of love, that comfortableness in His presence. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Are you close to Jesus tonight? Are you? Let's bargain. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy.